Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with John Rubino, founder and editor of The Dollar Collapse. Now, John, we're going to start off a couple markets that we'll discuss here, one being precious metals. But first, before we get into the kind of sell-off that we're seeing in gold to start this month and this year, let's talk about interest rates, because long-term interest rates, they are moving higher. Even today, we are seeing long-term interest rates move higher, and this maybe could be a trend as we are entering 2022, where the expectations are we will see some rate hikes. Question will it be the short end or the long end responding more so to these rate hikes and just how many rate hikes we can get? I do want to get your thoughts on long-term interest rates, though, and this bounce we're seeing. Is it part of a bigger picture here, John?
Well, hey, Corey. Hey, Shad. Yeah. Rising interest rates are a potentially huge problem for the financial markets. And they're up in the U.S. today. The 30-year Treasury is now back up over 2%. Two parts of the story. One is, you know, why are they going up? There are a lot of possible reasons. And the other is it transitory or is it part of a longer term trend? One of the reasons that rates could be going up is that the economy is just rocking right now. You know, it's growing, or at least different parts of the economy are growing, and inflation is picking up in part because of rising demand. And that's the kind of thing that normally pushes interest rates up. Another is that the Fed is starting to taper and talking about a lot more tapering in the future. We'll see if they get to do it, but and interest rates will play a role in whether they get to do it. But tapering means that the government via the central bank is buying fewer long-term bonds out there. So you would expect, other things being equal, if there's less buying of bonds, the prices of bonds would go down, which is the same thing as saying interest rates on bonds go up. So we could be seeing a tapering related reaction in the bond market. But whatever it is, it's bad news for the rest of the financial markets. Rising interest rates beyond a certain point would be disastrous for stocks, for instance. And of course, by definition, rising interest rates are a bond bear market. So, let them go up some more from here and you risk having a bond bear market and a stock bear market at the same time, which means all those pension funds out there that are, 50-50 in stocks and bonds and are already underfunded would be wildly underfunded if all their big assets went down at the same time. So you'd have that become a front page problem. So among many other front page problems. But suffice it to say that interest rates are something you want to pay attention to when they're rising in big chunks like they are today.
Yeah, John, and I was going to ask you that because, I mean, the most common reason for interest rates to rise are that people are not buying the bonds. And we obviously have a tapering Fed that's going to get more aggressive over the next couple months. They've telegraphed they want to reduce their buying by $30 billion per month to escalate it, get it done by March. We've asked a couple of, market pundits and generalists that we have on the show, who's going to buy those bonds? Like when they stop buying all these, could that be a bond issue? Could this be a bond market bubble popping after 30, 40 years? And they said that there's going to be a lot of foreign investors that come in and that, it's still the U.S. is still the cleanest dirty shirt in the laundry bin. Do you think that'll be the case? Do you think we'll see foreign investors come in and bail out the bonds? Or do you think this is going to be what you just outlined, a double whammy where the bond market's correcting at the same time as when they hike rates, it may affect the general markets?
Well, foreign buying of U.S. bonds is a real thing. It's not a good thing because what it implies is that as messed up as the U.S. is, the rest of the world is in even worse shape. So if you're in Brazil or Russia or China or, name the other country and name all the European countries if you want to as well. Maybe it looks like it's a good idea to cash out of your local currency and buy some assets in the U.S. because relatively speaking, we're in pretty good shape. We're less dangerous than where they are. Now, that could be a limiting factor for U.S. interest rates, but it's a sign that the rest of the world is really messed up and nobody's immune to foreign problems anymore. So trouble anywhere in the world is potentially trouble everywhere else in the world. If a massive amount of foreign buying comes into the U.S. Treasury market and pushes interest rates down, that's temporarily a good thing for U.S. markets, but long-term a horrible thing because it means the rest of the world is in some kind of nightmare scenario where they'd rather buy the bonds of the world's biggest debtor country than their own bonds, and that's not a good place to be.
So, John, when it comes to these long-term interest rates, we are seeing them move up today. But again, this is just one day move. And you can also make the argument that rates have been, I don't know, generally range bound here for the last few months and even throughout this year. What sort of levels would be a problem here? Because again, we don't want to make too much out of some short-term moves. So when does these higher interest rates, I guess, really hamper the system?
Yeah, that's a very good point. This, if it's just a one-day pop, it's meaningless. But if it's a trend, then it's a very big deal. So we should be watching interest rates to see if it becomes a trend. And then as for which number, you know, what level blows up the financial system, that's the question that we all want to be able to answer. Because as you get close to that number, that's when you start shorting everything in sight and you make a fortune. But nobody knows what the number is ahead of time. That's the problem. If the trend is higher, it's taking you closer to that number, but you do not know what the number is ahead of time. I would say it wouldn't have to be much higher than this just because everything is so fragile. You know, you've got stocks at absolute priced for perfection levels in an economy where the central bank at least claims to be tightening, and you've got a new strain of COVID coming in, disrupting a lot of things, and inflation is spiking. In other words, this is not perfection, but you've got stocks priced for perfection going forward. So it doesn't seem like it would take a lot on the interest rate front to really smack the stock market from here, based on history. You know, it hasn't taken a lot higher interest rates once stocks reach these valuation levels to bring on a bear market. So yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what the number would be, but I'm, you know, I can say with certainty there is a number out there and that it's probably not a whole lot higher than where we are now.
Well, John, all this kind of ties into the backdrop of the inflation narrative. And we know that there's been stickier inflation. It's lasted longer than the Fed wanted. They've admitted it's not transitory. And we've had some pretty high readings the last couple of months. You know, last month in November's reading, 6.8% on the CPI, around 8.5% on the PPI. A lot of people think that's a high watermark and that we'll start seeing disinflation as we move into this year of 2022. And we'll see that come down to 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, you know, and maybe if the Fed can hike a little bit, we can bring those interest rates up while inflation's coming down. But if you look at Europe and if you look at other areas, it doesn't seem to be slowing down. What are your outlooks on inflation for this year?
Well, right now, prices are still rising. A lot of commodities are up. We're hearing about supply disruptions in, for instance, the food industry that is raising prices, and used cars are just insanely expensive now. You know, it's I've got two sons who one just bought a car and the other is looking, and so I'm plugged into that market, and it's just nuts what used cars are going for right now. So prices are really high. They still seem to be rising, but it's easy to envision a point at which some of these trends roll over. I think the place where we're going to see inflation have long legs is in the labor markets, where, you know, companies just can't get their old workers to come back to work. The workers, at least in the U.S., are almost across the board reluctant to take back their old jobs. And so you get these really weird statistics where, yeah, you know, the labor force participation is way down, but wages are rising to unprecedented levels in a lot of industries, but it's not bringing people back in yet. So I think that, let me just sketch out a scenario. A lot of workers have found out that working at home is nice and they don't want to go back into the office. A lot of others have found out that just kind of living in their parents' basement is all things considered, and not working is all things considered better than getting up every day in your apartment and going to some crappy job that you hate and spending 8 or 9 hours. You know, it's just a better life. So they don't want to go back to work. So what's going to happen is companies are going to, they can get those people back, but they have to pay more than they are now. They have to pay in some cases way up to fully staff themselves. And a lot of them will feel like they have no choice to do that because the orders are coming in. And they don't want to turn people away because that's leaving massive amounts of money on the table. So they're going to perceive it to be cheaper to just bring their workers back at whatever it costs to do it. And that's going to give wage inflation quite a bit longer to run. And that might be enough to elevate the overall CPI number for a while longer. You know, so inflation might be a year ahead story. Because of rising labor costs And the Fed hates wage inflation. That's the thing that they worry about most. They don't care if rich people's stocks, bonds, and real estate go up, but you know, let regular people make more money at their jobs, and that spooks the Fed. So that puts more pressure on them to actually do something about inflation. So you know, that kind of inflation running for another year would put the Fed in an incredible box, because they're terrified of raising interest rates, but they may be terrified of not raising interest rates. And so they're going to have to decide, you know, who knows what they decide. It won't be a very intelligent decision no matter what, but it could be a really disruptive one.
One thing that I find so interesting about this whole inflation aspect here is that we are still seeing demand. And that does make sense. When people do see costs rise, then they do go out and spend their money more. But to your point, John, some of these people just not going into their job and really not making all that much money. The question is, how long can this demand side stay so healthy in this whole inflation argument?
That's another very good thing that needs to be watched, because what's happening in the U.S. now is that people are still spending money, but they're putting it on their credit cards now, whereas for most of the past year, they were spending their stimmy checks. Well, now they've run through those. And so they're borrowing money to maintain whatever lifestyle it is that they're living right now. And that's something with a limited time frame. So that could be another factor that sends people back to work at some point. We're not seeing it yet. You know, they're happily maxing out their credit cards in order to do whatever it is they're doing. Oh, and then there's the cryptocurrency side of this. Now, I haven't verified this statistic, but one of the headlines that was floating around for a while was that something like 4% of the U.S. population had left their jobs because they'd made so much money trading cryptos. And, you know, that's a wild card, too. So, you know, it's completely possible that that the labor market changes back to its old self over the next couple of years. But right now, there's no real sign of it. So we just have to wait and see how long it takes, if it ever happens.
Well, John, when we look at interest rates, inflation, you know, talk about the cryptocurrencies and people day trading and making all this money, it does seem kind of end of cycle, you know, with so many markets that rocketed higher in 2021. But there's some people worried there's going to be a shaking of the tree this year, 2022. And that brings us around to the safe haven. So I'd like to get your thoughts on where you think gold and silver may trend. You know, we had a kind of a rough year in the precious metals last year. We're trending sideways to down, a little bump at the end of the year, giving people hope. And we start the year with another smackdown to start off 2022. What's your outlook for gold and silver moving this year?
Well, yeah, gold had a nice run towards the end of the year, and today it's getting whacked. But the very short-term outlet look is pretty good, because seasonality is usually good this time of year for gold. January is by far the one of the two or three best months for gold historically, largely because of Asian buying. That's when Indians and Chinese people like to have their weddings in the spring. And so they buy precious metals because they like to give gold and silver jewelry as a gift prior to wedding season. And that usually elevates the price. And so if, you know, the same thing applies this time, January ought to be a pretty good month for gold, regardless of what's happening today, you know. And further out, you know, the environment is just paradise for precious metals. When you look at all the macro stuff that's going on, we're borrowing insane amounts of money, we're financing it with insane amounts of money printing, and inflation is starting to pick up, and governments, as we talked about, are starting to flirt with wage controls and price controls. And that's the kind of thing that normally gives gold and silver their parabolic run at the end of the cycle. And so, you know, it feels like the 1970s again in a lot of ways. So I can't help but be optimistic intermediate term about precious metals. But there's that big stock market crash thing out there waiting to happen based on stock prices. And that would be very bad for precious metals. So intermediate term to long term, great prospects for precious metals. Shorter term prospects, good for a month or two, and then there's that stock market thing out there to worry about. So there's no easy answer about how to trade this. So I think stackers and people who have a long-term perspective with precious metals should just continue to dollar cost average. Don't worry about seasonality. Don't worry about what the stock market's going to do. Just, you know, put your same amount of money each month into physical precious metals. And don't worry about that side of your portfolio. And then looking beyond that, start looking around for the next great bear resources in the junior mining sector, of which there are many candidates, you know, and then put your speculative money in those things on the assumption that, you know, they're 10 baggers eventually. So grab them now and then you'll be fine eventually.
John, to that point, 10 baggers don't come along all that often. And well, Great Bear, that was way more than a 10 bagger. And you are right. There's hundreds, even thousands of opportunities for those 10 baggers. But don't expect that every investment you're going to get into, you're going to hit, because that is a very difficult game, which is one of the reasons to be diversified. But John, just want to ask one more follow-up question regarding gold and the longer-term outlook. Look, we have a lot of the similar drivers, at least I think heading into this year, as we did from last year for gold, or at least what I'm hearing in terms of fundamentals. What are some of the key changes this year that should drive gold higher, considering what we went through last year that is still fairly similar?
Well, inflation is higher right now than it was a year ago. Debt is dramatically higher all around the world than it was a year ago. You know, all the big trends in the monetary and fiscal world are continuing and in a lot of cases accelerating. So the environment just keeps getting better and better for precious metals, which is to say worse and worse for almost every other aspect of our lives. And as long as that continues, you should be optimistic about the prospects for safe haven assets, because we're creating the conditions in which safe haven is way better than growth. In other words, you know, your growth stock could be down by 80 or 90% and the company could be unchanged. It's just that people lose faith in growth when the stock market turns around. And if something like gold or silver just sits there through, you know, the downward and flattening out part of the stock market cycle, then that's going to look really good. You know, if you have something that maintains your purchasing power, there are times when that's the best thing you can aspire to. And based on history, based on the valuation of the stock market and where the government is in its tightening and loosening cycle, we're heading for one of those times again. So I think the prospects for gold and silver are, you know, they're choppy in the short run, unpredictable over the next 6 months to a year, but great longer term. So as Rick Rule likes to say, when they put, you know, when something you like goes down in price, they basically just put it on sale for you. And choppiness in precious metals in the near term would just be them going on sale before they finally take off, as they will eventually. So, you know, it's easy to worry about short run price moves in precious metals, but very hard to worry about longer term moves. It just seems like this is the kind of world where that's the thing you want to own.
Well, John, I'll split the difference with you on one more question here, and that is the medium-term outlook. So a lot of people we've brought on the show lately have said that rate hiking cycles, when we get closer to it, which sounds like this spring, you know, somewhere between March and May is when most people are targeting the Fed will start hiking rates, that generally precious metals sell down into that. And then after the rate hike is announced, the last 4 to 6 cycles, we've seen precious metals get a tailwind and get a boost from it. Are you expecting something similar to play out, where we have that one more clearance sale you just mentioned going into the rate hike, but then once the news is announced that we see more of a sustained bull market start? What's your outlook around the rate hiking and how it relates to gold?
Well, yeah, I mean, that could be part of the dynamic. And I'm worried about the one more clearance sale thing, because I've lived through a few of the previous ones and they were brutal. So it's definitely something to pay attention to. And the Fed's tightening or attempts to tighten could play a big role in the timing of all this. And yeah, I think the Fed is under a lot of pressure to taper and then tighten. I don't think they have the ability to do much of it, though. I think, you know, if they raise interest rates one or two times, a quarter point each, I would be surprised if they even get to do that. But their intention to do that could have a big impact on these overvalued markets. And then, you know, give us that one last chance to buy gold and silver and the mining stocks really, really cheap. But, you know, I would rather that it didn't happen and it just went up from here. But it's completely possible that rising interest rates a tightening Fed crack the stock market, which pulls down precious metals sometime in 2022. You know, that could easily happen in the next 6 months to a year. So yeah, you know, it's a thing to watch out there, but it's definitely not a thing to cause you to change a regular investment program. You know, you should be adding regularly to the things that you really like right through this, on the assumption that there's daylight at the other end. You know, there's that parabolic increase in gold and silver prices out there waiting to happen. So just, you know, don't sweat the stuff you can't predict. Focus on the thing that you kind of can predict, and just let it all happen.
So keep the faith, and we're still waiting for that market correction. Hey, John, it's well over a decade in the making, and look, we are. There are many arguments for why these markets need to correct, and time-wise, they definitely are due for a correction. We're just still waiting to see what is going to cause that correction then, because boy, oh boy, it seems like we've been talking about this market correction for decades.
Well, but Corey, we've had two flash crashes. You know, in the late 2018 was a brutal one. And then in March of 2020, and those were, they were just flash crashes, but they were, while they happened, they were, especially the March 2020 thing, you know, you remember what happened to junior miners.
Oh, everything dropped. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is everything was then a buy. Junior miners did well, but so did everything else, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And yes, you're right. The thing that's coming might be different because it might be secular instead of cyclical, or a real crash instead of a flash crash. You know, it might be something more like 2008, 2009. But yeah, it's very hard to predict when some big thing like that happens. But I think we're lined up for it.
So we're just waiting for it to happen. Then we're waiting for that sentiment to switch back more into the precious metals. Remember, precious metals had a great couple years there leading up to that almost $2,100 peak in 2020, right? So we're not that far off from that peak time-wise or price-wise. So, hey, 2022, exciting to see what happens. And who knows, maybe we will get that more long-term crash in those markets. John, thanks as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Great. Thanks, guys.